Let me tell you that I have really enjoyed the challenges so far. And I have been busier than I thought I would be. But having assured you of that, that I'm not underemployed, but that I am enjoying it, and that I'm really enjoying the people that I work with here. With that, I know you don't want me to talk too long. You'd rather ask questions, so what are your questions?
General, yes.
General Shalikeshvili, certainly one of the highest-profile challenges face you now, North Korea, the problem of North Korea. You have a study undergoing, I know, with the South Korean military on changes that might be needed to beef up the military there. Have you any preliminary results from that study? Do you think that forces need to be beefed up, U.S. and South Korean forces? And are you confident that the force that's there now could stop any North Korean thrust before it reached Seoul?
First, as far as the effort is ongoing effort to determine whether their structure is right or whether their capabilities are in place and what it is that we in a reinforcing role ought to be doing, I think it's much too early to talk about specifics, other than you need to view that as an ongoing process and not something that has all of a sudden been brought about by what we've been reading in the headlines, and that is the nuclear issue. And I am satisfied, having gone to Korea about a month ago and meeting there with my counterpart, that's going well. As far as our confidence to stop a North Korean attack into the South, I'm very, very confident. And I think even the more pessimistic studies that you sometimes write about have no question that we will stop the South Koreans, together with our reinforcements, will stop a North Korean attack far short of their reaching their war objectives. I would not want to stand here before you and speculate whether that's, where that in relationship to Seoul is. Suffice it to say that I'm very comfortable that no one has yet suggested that we would not be able to stop the North Koreans.
How would you be able to stop them?
Follow-up question, if I may, sir. 1950, the Chinese came in on behalf of North Korea, and it became a very bloody, long, and involved war. We know the outcome. What is the assessment of Red China today? Will they remain neutral? Do you think they'd come in if North Korea attacks?
Well, I think the conditions are totally different, and I certainly would not envision right now that we would be facing the Chinese government and the Chinese troops if, in fact, North Korea were foolish enough to attack the South.
General, given the North Koreans' vast numerical superiority, how is it that the South Korean forces reinforced by the U.S. would be able to repel an invasion?
First of all, there's more to a war-fighting capability than the number of soldiers or airmen or Marines that one side or the other has. It has to do with the quality of the force. It has to do with the quality of the armaments. It has to do with terrain. It has to do whether you're the attacker or the defender. And I am not alone in this military judgment that Republic of Korea forces reinforced by the United States, as it is now envisioned, would be able to stop any attack. But I don't want to leave it with the impression that something has changed in the last month or two or three that somehow makes it more likely that North Korea is engaged in some kind of a preparation for an attack. I don't want to leave that impression at all. What I'm saying is something that has been true for some time, and I think it's going to remain true for some time to come, without giving you all the impression that we are somehow in that we sense that the North Koreans are in some kind of a preparatory phase prior to an attack. Let me turn you out.
You mentioned Russia. The parliament there, they are electing a parliament that is, the nationalist group is opposed to many of Yeltsin's policies on denuclearization, on switching to defense conversion. What are your thoughts about that and how it would change any U.S. military policy?
The first thing I would tell you is that it's useful to remember as a start point that there's an awful lot to be satisfied about, in the sense that we've had the first free democratic elections since, I guess, 1917, probably, and that we do have a new constitution that guarantees an awful lot of the rights of to the citizens of Russia. So I think there's an awful lot to be very thankful about. As far as the outcome between reformists and those who would slow down reforms or reorient reforms, I think I would like to reserve judgment till we see better, really, how that came out. Certainly, you could speculate that we hope that after all the votes are counted, that the reformists will have the necessary majority to be able to get programs through the parliament and through the Duma that would speed up reforms. I think, unless you know more than I, right now I think it's a little bit too early to tell what the final vote tally will be.
The latest is that Vice President Gore in Moscow is now saying, well, it may not be as optimistic as they had originally thought. But what about your own personal opinion of Zelensky? He had been quoted as saying that he believes that Germany and Russia should get together and divide up Poland, as well as he would not hesitate to use nuclear weapons, and that he thinks that Alaska should be annexed. What are
your... I was just going to say, be careful not to make any comments about someone who thinks that it's realistic to view Alaska returning to the fall. I don't know enough about him other than what I have read in the newspapers. And again, I think it's useful to find out the difference between election rhetoric and appealing to emotionalism during this very heated election process they had, and what the man is going to be like when he assumes responsibility as a member of the Duma.